Hi, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for Rosh Chodesh Shvat, for the first day of Shvat. It's from Shut Yabia Omer, Chelek Chet, the 8th volume, the Orach Chaim section, Simon Aleph, the first response in the volume. It's from Rosh Chodesh Shvat of Tavshin Chet of 1948. Let's thank Rabbi Jacob Abramowitz, David Hachazer, and the OU for making this year available to you online. The question that came to provide you safe, the way he expressed it in the question, was: are you allowed to talk in the bathroom if there's some great need, or if you're going to lose money if you don't? Towards the end of the response, we'll find out that one of the examples of that would be, let's say the phone rings, and there's a phone in the bathroom for some reason. Today, it would be a cell phone, would be easier, but can you answer it? Can you talk while you're in the bathroom for some great need? So Rav Avadi Yosef starts with a Gemara in Brachot on Samach Bet Amud Bet, where the Gemara tells us the following story. Rav Safra was using the facilities, and remember, in those days, facilities were like off in a whole area, but they were closed off, and Rabbi Ava comes to the facilities. He knocks on the gate to the facilities to know if there's somebody inside, and Rav Safra says, come on in, basically. He says the words Lei Ulmar, which means whoever you are should come in. So once they got out, Rabbi Ava says to him, you know, shouldn't you not have been speaking to the bathroom? The way Rashi reads it is, you have a Mishnah that says that you don't talk in the bathroom. So you don't talk in the facilities. The Rav Ava says, so why were you talking to me? And the Gemara says, so what was Rav Safra thinking? Rav Safra was thinking that maybe there was some sakana, there was some danger. The tradition at the time of the Gemara was that if one feels the need to use the facilities, one should do so as soon as possible without holding it in. The Gemara felt that holding it in could be detrimental to one's health. So the Rav Safra thought that there could be a danger there in requiring the person to wait till they got out, and therefore he violated this principle that we don't talk in the bathroom. If you took it that way, then we want to know, is Rav Ava right that you shouldn't have spoken, or Rav Safra that you could have spoken? And if Rav Safra is right, then you'd have to evaluate the need to talk in every situation. But we're not sure that he's right. So, Niyo Zarua agreed with Rashi's reading, right? And Rashi's reading the Gemara, that's the issue at hand. The issue at hand is you're not supposed to speak, and that it's possible that for the great needs of somebody else, you'd be allowed to. The Ozarua says that Mikan Lamanu Shasula Saper Beta Kisei, and then gives a reason, Mishum Tzniuta. It's a matter of Tzniut, it's a hard word to translate. Today, people think of tzniut as having to do with clothing, especially women's clothing, right? It's not tznius, it is tznius. But really, in the Gemara, tzniut is much more about proper discretion and proper sense of privacy. So here, not speaking in the bathroom is a matter of tzniut, not because anyone's going to see anything, but because the bathroom is supposed to be a private time that a person does on their own, and therefore, if they speak up, that's violating the privacy of that moment. So it's about discretion and privacy and those kinds of issues. That's the way Rashi and the Or Zeruah seem to read it, and that would be one way to discuss it. But there's a Gemara in Tamid, Rav Avadi Yosef points out. But Tamid, the Gemara in Tamid on Kaf Zayin Amud Bet has the same story in a slightly different version. And there, at the end of the story, Rabbi Ava makes a comment about Rav Safra, which Rav Hananel understood to mean that Rabbi Ava was commenting on the fact that Rav Safra came from Bavel, was in Bavel, had come from Bavel, and in Bavel, people went to the bathroom together, and that Rav Ava was saying to him, you sort of seem to have learned their ways of inviting somebody to the bathroom while you're still there, and they talk while they're in the bathroom together, and there's no embarrassment about it. And the Shittim Kubetzet in Brachot has a similar thing. Rav Ava said, Milo Tanan Mitzo Nol Alma Dein Derech Sheikh Nisu Shnaim Yach, meaning you should have just said, it's locked. You know, you shouldn't have said anything, but you could have made a signal to say there's somebody inside. You should have locked the door. Right? Had you locked the door, then I wouldn't have knocked because I would know somebody's inside. And if somebody's inside, I don't come in because non-Babylonians don't rush in to use the bathroom at the same time as each other. Now, in our days, it's an interesting question. You know that, for example, years ago I was in Wrigley Field, and there, when men need to urinate, the facilities they use is a trough, and there's no lines, there's no divisions, meaning in most bathrooms that I've been in, even when it's used by many people at the same time, there's at least some sort of a barrier, of a divider between the places where the men urinate, so that you're not really going to the bathroom together in that way, and that the only way to see each other is if you look, which you obviously shouldn't be doing, but in a trough, it's a much more of a unified thing. That's the Bavli version of it. They would go to the bathroom together, and there would be a problem. So in that version of it, Rav Ava was saying to him, why didn't you lock the door? And then I would have known there was somebody inside. And then the answer is the same answer, because Rav Safra says, I would worry, the Gemara says for Rav Safra, I was worried that if I locked the door, somebody would be waiting outside, it would create a danger, and therefore I decided not to lock the door. If anybody really needed it, they could come in. So it's not clear why Rashi read it his way completely, and there are those, Achronim, we quote, so I'm not giving you all the names of it, and seem to have a problem with Rashi, but then Rav Avadi Yosef points out that the Rosh in Tamid, the Rosh says that, reads it in such a way that you can explain for Rashi as well. The way to read it is that when he said, why didn't you just lock the door? What he meant was, had you locked the door, I would have known somebody was inside. I wouldn't have had to knock, and then you wouldn't have had to call out. So that still puts the issue back as a calling out issue, as a talking while in the bathroom issue, rather than a, you shouldn't have two people in the bathroom together issue. That would be a different issue, and that would explain Rashi. In other words, you have two ways of reading this Gemara then. You have the Rashi or Zuhur way, which sees the problem as being the speaking up, and that was the problem because it's a lack of tzihud. And then there's the other problem of that it's a problem, the other way of reading it, which is that the problem is that he should have locked the door, because he should have made clear that only one person uses the bathroom at a time, because otherwise it's a bavli kind of a custom. That doesn't seem to be so much a lack of tzihud, it's a lack of that's not the way we should use the bathroom together. There's a different kind of tzihud, I guess you could say, is the problem, but it doesn't touch on the question of speaking. It's more the question of being together in the bathroom is where the lack of tzihud comes in. Now there are all sources. The Gemara in Brachot and Sefer Penim and Aleph has a thing that says we have a tradition that in a Beit Kisa you need both tzihud and shtikut. So tzihud would mean not to be around other people, and shtikut means to be silent, and that's the way a Rabbeinu Eliyahu Milondres, which is London, in his Psakim, also ruled that way, that it's proper when somebody goes to the bathroom to be A, alone, and B, quiet, then both of them were true. And the Ramah has a Haggah where he writes, two men, two people really, should not go to the bathroom to go to the facilities together. You shouldn't speak in the bathroom. You should close the door because it's new. So that's all of these characteristics together, which would suggest that you shouldn't be talking in the bathroom. That doesn't yet quite tell us how significant this issue is. So let's say Rav Safra thought that the possible danger of the person knocking on the door was sufficient to allow him to speak up. We haven't spoken about whether that's true or not yet. So the Rambam, in the fifth chapter of Hilchot De'ot, the sixth halakha, writes, Tzniut Gedola Noagim Tamidei Chachamim. They have a lot of ways of, Tamidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, and in this case, when the Rambam talks about Torah scholars, he doesn't mean that this is an extra standard that's just for special people. He means Torah scholars keep the proper standard that should be had by everybody. And the one that the Revised Yosef's point is focusing on is Lo Yidaber Kishinifne Afilu Letzorach Gadol. Even for, and this is an important phrase because it's going to be part of the standard for how we know it, even for a great need, a Torah scholar shouldn't speak up. Then he goes on to say what I just said a second ago, I learned it from him, that he doesn't think that the Rama means just Torah scholars act this way. This is the proper way to act for everybody, because he says, if you look at that halacha, you'll find a bunch of things there that apply to all people. And so I left out some of the examples that he gives, but one example that he gives is Shalei Kaneach Biyamin. There is a tradition that one should not use one's right hand to wipe oneself after defecating, because that gets the remnants of that stuff on one's right hand, and one's right hand is usually what one uses to, for example, wrap tefillin, to do acts of kedusha, to deal with and to hold on to sanctified objects, and therefore it's preferable not to wipe oneself with the right hand. So the Rambam puts it in this paragraph about this is what Talmidei Chachamim Torah scholars do, but Rav Yosef said there's no reason to think that's the Torah scholars issue, that's a people issue. So the Rambam seems to be understanding that the not speaking in the bathroom is a people issue, and that you just shouldn't. And then the Rambam has the standard of even for a Tzorech Gadol. That's a standard we will have to track down a little bit further as we go on. And I'm sorry, our same Gemara in Brachos, but not the same exact Gemara, but on that same page in Brachos, they talk about not wiping with the right hand, and that's why Rav Yosef is certain, is confident anyway, that this is for everybody and not just for Torah scholars. And the Shulchan Aruch passes that halacha. So it shows that it's really a halacha for everybody. So too, another halacha that he brings up, because he spent a little bit of time on, the Rambam in that same discussion in Hilchot De'ot, a few paragraphs later, says, Lo yilech tamid chacham bekoma zikufa, that a Torah scholar should not walk particularly upright. Now, koma zikufa isn't just that you walk with a good posture, it's that you walk with a certain arrogant bearing to oneself. It might be fully straight upright is that part of that bearing, but you know, the Torah scholar doesn't do that. And it seems like there that we mean everybody should be like that. How do we know that? So the Gemara in Kiddushin, Alamed Aleph, Amad Aleph says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur le'adam, she'elech arba amot bekoma zikufa. No person's allowed to walk four amot, like a meaningful walk, basically. Right? A 4 amot is the amount of space we think people have. So it's you can't walk your whole area of space with this kind of very upright posture. Because when we walk in that kind of an upright way, it seems like we're pretending like we occupy the world and not that Hashem occupies the world. And Hashem is everywhere. And that's to be part of how we present ourselves at all time, aware of and alert to the fact that Hashem is everywhere. So too, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. Another example of the fact that it seems like these are halachot that Rambam was talking about that apply to everybody, and therefore the bathroom halacha would seem to apply to everybody as well. Let's just stick with the koma zikufa issue for a second, because Rav Yosef does, and I think it's kind of interesting to think about. So he says, but
There's a Gemara in Brachot that says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Ginaylo Tamid Chacham.
And one of them is this Koma Zekufa issue, which seems to put it back into the Torah scholar realm, not the ordinary person realm. But Rav Yosef says, well, it could be that for everybody else, you can have a Koma Zekufa, you can walk that way for a little bit, but not for Amot, whereas the Talmud Chacham shouldn't do any of it. But it seems to be something like along those lines. And the reason for that, he says, is because it's an act of arrogance and of lifting ourselves up above other people. And anytime we are arrogant, then we act arrogantly. We act like we matter more than other people. The Gemara in Sota tells us, Ki'ilu Oved Ovadazara. There's a certain element of idolatry to it, I think, because we're sort of worshipping ourselves rather than Hashem, because we see ourselves as so vitally important. So therefore, it's Koma Zekufa is a problem for everybody, although perhaps in greater measure for Torah scholars. Now, he goes into a little bit more of this. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's not really our actual issue, but there is a Mishnah in the sixth chapter of Avot. Let's remember the sixth chapter of Avot is a misnomer because it's not originally part of Avot. It's stuff that was added on probably because of the custom to read, to study a chapter of Avot for every week between Pesach and Shavuot. So the Mishnah there in Avot, what we call a Mishnah there in Avot, has this idea that you should always, it's Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel, and what it says is that even if you learn a very little bit from anybody, you should treat them with great respect. However, the Mishnah works it out. It uses David HaMelech as an example, and it says that David HaMelech learned only two ideas from Achitofel, from his counselor Achitofel, and yet he called him in Tehillim Rabbi Alufi Umiyudai. He called him by these great titles, and that is the basis to prove that if somebody teaches us any Torah, we should treat them with respect. Okay, but the Mishnah there, or the Brayta there, doesn't tell us what those two pieces of Torah were. So Rashi, in the commentary there, offers ideas. And one of the ideas he offers is, Shachitov Matza David, Holech Bekoma Zikufa Bebeit HaMidrash. That Achitofel saw David walking to the Beit Midrash with this Koma Zekufa, this arrogant, upright, somewhat haughty posture. And Achitofel said, you don't do that. And Achitofel told him, you don't do that from the words Umikdashi Tirau, that you have to have a certain kind of awe of places that have special sanctity. And the Beit Midrash is such a place. And therefore, David HaMelech should have the awe that he walked in. So it sounds like there that it's only the Beit Midrash where David had a problem, but we've just tried to say, meaning, if you told me Torah scholars are the ones who have to worry about Koma Zekufa, about this arrogant, upright posture, then maybe you could have argued, well, David HaMelech, for all of you, was certainly a Torah scholar, didn't have to adhere to that standard for some reason. But if we've just spent time saying, no, it's for everybody, and let's remember, it's important for a Avad Yosef that it be a standard for everybody, because it's only if it's a standard for everybody that he can then argue that even though the Gemara talks about Torah scholars, that really it's a standard for everybody in terms of the bathroom speaking, and it's a standard for everybody. Even the Rambam talks about it as a standard for Torah scholars in Hilchot Deot, that really those are standards where Torah scholars keep what really everybody should be keeping, right? There's two ways that one is a Torah scholar. There are a lot of ways one is a Torah scholar, but the two ways that we deal with the specially good actions of Torah scholars. Sometimes it's because there are certain forms of action that really only a Torah scholar should do. So originally, today it's a whole different story for the reason that we can't get into now, but originally when the idea came about to put on two pairs of tefillin a day, one that follows the view of Rashi, one that follows the view of Bin Atam, it was for Torah scholars, for specially righteous people. So that wasn't meant as, oh, this is what should be done. It was if you're really, really a great person and you have lots of other of your religious stuff under control so that you're really a great person, then you can also be so careful about this. That's what it was originally said. It's been changed now, and I'm not getting into whether that's good or bad or not. It's just not the way it is anymore. It's an example of when Torah scholars, in fact, have a higher standard of behavior. But there are other times when we'll say that Torah scholars do something. What we mean is, this is something that everybody should be doing. It happens to be that wherever we are right then, only Torah scholars could do it. Rav Yosef had insisted that when the Rambam said that not speaking in the bathroom is a matter for a Torah scholar, what the Rebbe really meant was nobody should do it. It happens to be that it's Torah scholars who mostly pay attention to that. To show that, he wanted to show that the Rambams in that section of Hilchot Deot all mention Torah scholars when they really mean things that are true for everybody. An example we already saw and dispensed with was wiping oneself with the wrong hand after defecating, cleaning oneself after defecating. So that was one. The other one he wants to talk about now is not walking bekomaz kufa, not walking arrogantly. So he showed it in the Gemara that it seems like we shouldn't walk arrogantly. But the example of David HaMelech from this sixth chapter of Avot, the way that Achitofel teaches Malach, Achitofel says to him, no, you shouldn't walk into a Beit Midrash, into a study hall, or into some other place of sanctity with that kind of posture, with that kind of haughty approach. Sounds like if you were outside the Beit Midrash, it would be okay. So there, Rav Yosef says, That's not a problem. Yesh namar dishani David sheyamelech. So David was a king, and part of being king is that the king is required to establish his awe among the people. It's an interesting, really, really, really too much off the topic for us to talk about here, but it's part of the way Judaism understands the rule of a king, is that everybody who's interacting, all the people who are interacting with that king, have to interact with that king in a way that has an element of awe or fear to it, and it's part of the king's role to instill that. The king is not allowed to break down that wall and to be just like a good friend to everybody. The king has to, while it's true that he has to be care about the poor and the oppressed and the widows, the orphans, and help them out and encourage them and all those kinds of important, good, just activities, it's still true that the king has to be the king and his mora. Right, the pasuk in the Torah is Som Tasim Alech HaMelech. The word Sanhedrin Chofet Amin Aleph says Som Tasim Shtehei Imato Alech. You have to have a certain fear of the king. So that's why David HaMelech was properly walking B'Komah Zekufah in most of his life, not because now internally the Rambam makes sure we understand internally the king is supposed to buy any of that. The king is supposed to realize he's just a regular person. A regular person has been given the job of being king, which has certain things come with it. So internally he's not allowed to have any of that or arrogance or haughtiness or any of it. But externally, it's required for the king to adopt those airs to be sure that the people treat the king the right way, not because of who he is, because of the position he happens to hold. And that's where Akitofel came to say to him, that's true. Everywhere else you get to be king, you get to act like a king. When you come to the Beit HaMidrash, when you come into the study hall, or a Beit HaMikdash, or to the temple, so in all of those kinds of places, then the Pasuk of Beit Mikdashi Tirah applies. You're in the presence of Hashem. When in the presence of Hashem, your conduct has to be different. That's what Achitofel taught David, and that, again, helps us assume that that halakha in the Rambam really applies to all people and not just the Torah scholars. Now, where did the Rambam get the idea of Tzorech Gadol, that you can't talk even if it's a great need? So the Rambam, the Rav Yosef, assumes that the Nekamar and Brochot, which told the story, when it explained Rav Safra's conduct, it said, "V'hu savar de misukanhu," that he was in danger. Umashma shekol she'ino misukan ein lahatir. It sounds like the level of standard is, if he thought, now, it happens to be the standard is, maybe he's misukan. So maybe he's misukan would mean not quite that he definitely is in danger, but maybe he's in danger. But in any case, the maybe is in danger means that's the standard. The Rambam says, well, tzorech gadol, a great need, isn't a danger. There has to be some issue of possible danger. It's the way Rav Avadya Yosef is understanding the Rambam to be paskening. Problem with saying that is there's another Rambam halakhically seems to contradict this issue. In the laws of Kriyat Shema, in the third chapter, in the fifth halacha, the Rambam writes, Dvarim shel chol, mundane matters, mutar lo amram bevedik. So you can talk about them in a bathroom, in a facilities, afilu b'shon hakodesh, even in Hebrew. Right, that was a question people always had. I remember reading many years ago, I don't even know if it's true. I think I read it like as a child. And when Eliezer ben Yehuda tried to promote the revival of Hebrew as a lived language that's used in ordinary conversation, one of the complaints that people had was, you're going to speak Hebrew in the bathroom and you're going to be hurting the Lashon Kodesh, this holy tongue, by speaking in the bathroom. So Rabbi Yosef, I don't know if he's constantly referring to that, but that the Rambam writes that, and he's pointing that out. The Rambam says, even in Hebrew, and even in the bathroom, one is allowed to say, the Rambam says, "Kena kinuyim." So kinuyim are words that don't have to apply to Hashem. They're not words about Hashem, right? The name Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, that's the name of Hashem. Elohim, it generally means Hashem. It could also mean judgment. It generally means Hashem, right? Those are words that are names of Hashem. And there's a list of names of Hashem. But there are other words that when we use them in certain contexts, we know that they mean Hashem, even though they don't actually mean Hashem. So good examples of that are things like Rachum and Chanun, which probably means something like merciful and compassionate, right? Those are attributes of Hashem, of Hashem's mercy, and Hashem doesn't punish to the extent that people deserve, right? So if I say, you know, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, so Kel is the name of Hashem, and I've turned Rachum V'Chanun maybe to adjective to that. So let's say I say Kel Rachum V'Chanun, let's say I just said Rachum V'Chanun Hoshiana. So it's pretty clear that I mean Hashem when I say that, because who else would I be praying to? And I think we assume that so can you use those words in the bathroom? Is that not an example of using Hashem's name in the bathroom? So the answer is no. The Rambam permits that as well. So it's odd though, right? It's odd to say you permit that, because we just said, the Rambam says you can't talk at all in the bathroom, let alone possible, let alone things that read as names of Hashem, or just even plain Lashon Kodesh. So one option, he says, is maybe it's just, this is not a great option, He says, maybe it's just a matter of, he wants to know that as a matter of mentioning Hashem's name in a place where it shouldn't be mentioned, a place that's dirty and that has filth to it, that makes it inappropriate to mention the name, so the Racham V'chana don't count, and the Hebrew language doesn't count. Problem with that is, but there's another reason you shouldn't be talking at all, the reason it's the youth of proper discretion and proper privacy and proper conduct in that way, that it's an odd thing to just put two halachos in different places. So he's not comfortable with that idea, that you'd put sort of contradicting halachos in different places and not mention the contradiction. So the he offers a different idea. And his idea is that maybe when we say you can't talk in a beta kisei because of the tzid issue, the discretion issue, that's when you talk in a full voice. But if you whisper, and he doesn't define for us what a whisper is, right? A whisper is probably not, you're going to have a conversation which other people can hear. It might be like so low that maybe somebody who's just right next to you could hear, but other people won't hear it at all. So that's not a lack of tzid. Why not? Because nobody knows it's happening. Right, if I, just to bring an example that popped in my head, let's say I, for whatever reason, I like to mumble the kids' poem Solomon Grundy to me. And I will give you my email, grothst@gmail.com. Extra points if anybody knows that pop culture reference where I just pulled out the idea of wanting to mumble the children's poem Solomon Grundy. So let's try to mumble Solomon Grundy. Nobody can hear me, but it calms me down. Right, so as I'm sitting there on the toilet, let's say, as a person sitting on the toilet, he mumbles Solomon Grundy, nobody can hear him. So that's not a chosur tzira, that's because nobody can hear you, it's whispering. So maybe when the Rambam says you can't talk, he means you can't talk in a way that people can hear. That's the tzniut issue. When he says that you can use Hebrew, and you can say the words that might sometimes mean Hashem, but don't necessarily mean Hashem, and you can even do that in the bathroom, so when he says that's when if somebody were whispering for some reason. So why they would whisper that stuff in the bathroom, it's unclear to me why they would do that, but that's what he's suggesting. And there's a paragraph, there's a bright in Derek Emesecha Derek Eretz that says that one can even tell themselves the laws of Beit HaKisei of using the facilities while in the facilities. So there too, you assume that it's when he's talking to himself and he's whispering it into himself to remind himself, this is the way I should do it, not that's the way that I should do it. And you're not making anybody be able to hear your voice. Now, and there's a whole long discussion also that I'm skipping, I'm just going to mention it. Rav Yaakov Emden said, you can't speak in Hebrew in the bathroom, you can't study Hebrew in the bathroom, meaning if you're, let's say you're studying the Hebrew language and you want to know Hebrew better, and you think the bathroom's a good time to do it, you can't study Hebrew in the bathroom, but the reason that he gives is that by studying Hebrew, you'll definitely, just something to think about in terms of the different cultural experiences of back then and now, you'll definitely be reminded of Psukim in the Tanakh. So since we don't think you're allowed to mention Torah ideas in the bathroom, that's sort of a similar to not mentioning Hashem's name in the bathroom, since we don't think you're allowed to, supposed to be doing that in the bathroom, then you can't study Hebrew either, because one will almost definitely lead to the other. That's a remark and a comment about how people, what people's cultural horizons were, and what kind of thoughts would necessarily pop into their head. Then there's one more issue that he raises. There's a book called Sefer Charedim, which also said you can't talk in the bathroom, but there it gave a completely different reason. So far we had the reason of tzniut, and then we've had the reason also of not being with other people, not a question of talking, but not being with other people to talk, because that's like a Babylonian custom. The Sefer Charedim said that it's also a problem of shedim. Shedim is a complicated topic in halacha. Some people are comfortable saying that it means demons. Some people are comfortable saying that it means demons, and they'll say, and they believe in demons, but we don't. And the whole question of where we do and don't believe various things in the Gemara, what they did mean, what they didn't mean. However that works, not our topic right now. I will say one great story that I heard many years ago, that apparently, supposedly the Kotzka Rebbe said, you know, everybody knows that the Rambam paskened that there were no shedim, there were no demons. And people got upset with the Rambam for that. They said that, you know, philosophy got things, rationalism got them too much. And because the Gemara talks clearly on often, not often, but mentions shedim with no qualms about it, the Rambam might have assumed that that was to deal with folk superstitions and let people think that the rabbis were dealing with that as well. Whatever the right answer to that question is, supposedly the Kotzker Rebbe said, in the time of the Gemara, there were shedim. And then when the Rambam came along and he ruled that there were no shedim, there were no demons in the world, there stopped being demons in the world, which I think is a lovely story. I have no idea what the truth of any of these issues are. I think that's a lovely story, and I love the attitude towards the power of Torah and the power of Torah scholars. In any case, now, the Sefer Charedim says there's these demons that occupy these kinds of areas, and therefore, if you talk, they hear you, and you're bringing danger upon yourself. So the Rav Avadya Yosef says he thinks he got it maybe from the same Gemara in Brachot and Tzav Ben Amar Aleph, when they talk about some issue there, it's not important for us what it is, but Rashi explains that that's a reference to the shade of Beit HaKisei, the demon that frequents the Beit HaKisei, that frequents the bathroom facility. Now that might sound like a chashash sakana, that it's a matter of danger. We are often much more careful about danger than we are about other issues. And if it's a matter of danger, we won't follow our usual principles of decision, like we won't follow majorities much with a danger situation. And therefore, you might think that it's a danger issue, and therefore you'd have to completely be stringent about it. But Rav Yosef says he doesn't think it's true because it's not a natural danger. When we talk in the Gemara about the fact that if something is danger, we can't follow our usual principles, and even if it's majority okay, we can't necessarily rely on that, and we have to always be very, very careful about danger in halakha. That's natural dangers, right? So, you know, if we say that sitting out in the sun causes skin cancer unless you this and this and this, so there, you don't need it to be a majority situation. There could be, halakha could be require us to be careful about our health in all sorts of ways that we understand to be important to our health, to avoid danger without playing the same percentage games we might play in just ordinary issues of permitted and prohibited. But when it comes to an unnatural or a supernatural or metaphysical danger, like a shade, like a demon, which the Gemara seems to mean that it is, now some people, when they want to be rationalist about it, will say, no, the Gemara meant it as a psychological question. If you believe it's dangerous, then that would be not helping provide you a safe way of thinking about it. He's trying to say, because the Gemara was talking about what it saw as a supernatural danger, we don't have to apply this principle of chamira sekanta mi'isua, that we deal more carefully with danger than we do with ordinary prohibitions, and therefore we can treat it just like the ordinary prohibition. In addition to which, he's got many achronim. There's a Shirim Re'esh, and a Tov Tam V'Da, which is Rav Shlomo Kluger and Rav Yaakov Emdin in War Kutziya, who all argued that when the Gemara talks about a shade that it frequents bathrooms, now they're not going to say there are no shadim, but they are going to say is that that was back in the time of the Gemara when bathroom facilities were far away, were outhouses, right? That's what the word an outhouse means. You go out to get there. They were outhouses. They were far away from human habitation. And therefore, the person's going out alone, and that's where there's this great danger. But when the bathroom facilities are located within the house or close to the house, and they're within town, so there's lots and lots of people around, so then this whole idea of demons is not nearly as frequent, because demons, in the understanding, meaning in the Gemara's understanding of demons, demons don't like to be around lots and lots of people. Therefore, they argued that we don't have to worry about that as much today, because we have different kinds of bathroom facilities, and therefore you don't have to worry so much about this shade. And that would mean that even if it's just a matter of losing a little bit of money, there's room to be made in terms of the demon issue, because you don't have to worry about the demon so much. Helping out with that, he points out there's a, in the introduction to the Zohar, it talks about this shade that frequents the bathrooms, but it says that it's because of lichlucha the tinufa, it's because of the dirt and the fecal matter, the disgusting stuff that's there, that comes onto people's fingers, and that leads to the shade to come onto them. And the Ari had the same idea, and the Ben Ish Chai quotes it. The importance of that is not that we have to accept it, but the importance of that is that even that if we do accept that, then that's another good reason for us to treat our bathrooms as different, because our bathrooms, by virtue of their plumbing facilities and their flushing facilities, so all that dirt stuff generally goes away quickly and without a problem for us, and we generally wash our hands carefully and with soap afterwards, so we don't have any of that stuff left over, and therefore even according to these sources, the shadim issue goes away, because this doesn't really count as a beit hakisei in the same sense. It's not really a bathroom facilities in the sense that the Gemara originally meant it. And then he points out, and I did not know this, the Ben Ish Chai says, based on these ideas, since the Ruach Ra is not going to be there so much, it's not the same kind of a thing because of the way that our bathroom facilities work these days, he says there are stringencies about how we wash our hands that don't apply to modern bathrooms, he seems to say. I'm not saying we paskin this way, but he says, for example, there's halacha, you're not supposed to go 4 amot without having to wash your hands. You have to wash your hands right away. Ben Ish Chai seems to say that, well, that's not true of our bathrooms because of the greater cleanliness in them. And so, too, he seems to think you don't absolutely require having a klilin tehila, like washing your hands with a cup the way we do for bread and for things like that. He seems to think that if you just wash your hands, you could be okay. So that does leave us thinking that the only reason not to talk in a bathroom is the tzniut issue. So that's good. Tzniut issue is a good thing, except that even the tzniut issue alone was enough for the Rambam to say you can't speak even litzorech gadol. So Rav Yosef now, in a very brief end of the tshuva, says he thinks that nonetheless, he thinks that a hefsed momon, some kind of monetary loss, would be enough that the Rambam would have been lenient about it as well, because there's a Sefer Torah Adamayim had said that's what he thinks, and it's a complicated issue that the Rav Yosef doesn't get into, basically. But basically, the Rambam said, even for Torah Kadol, Rav Yosef is saying he thinks that even when the Rambam says, for Torah Kadol, you can't do something to save a little money or to avoid loss of money, any money, he thinks you can do that. And therefore, modern bathrooms, which have telephones in them, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a bathroom with a telephone. Remember, in 1948, these are landlines. So there are people who are putting telephones in their bathrooms, and the phone rings, and he's not sure. It might be an issue that involves monetary loss, or it might be an issue that somebody's ill, and there's some issue there. He thinks there's room to be lenient and to answer the telephone, but you should have the conversation as briefly as possible because the tzniut issue is out there. And we should always keep in mind that we want to live lives with the proper tzniut. And if you're sure that the call is not about a monetary issue, not about an illness issue, then he thinks you should avoid talking about it because we really should avoid speaking in the bathroom for the reason that we've said, cover the tzniut issue. Whispering to ourselves might be fine, but speaking to other people is a lack of tzniut, as the Gemara make clear both in Brochon and Tamid, and therefore fundamentally we should try not to do it. But where there are pressing circumstances, such as a possible loss of money or a question of illness, even not life-threatening illness, but culture of illness, there is room to have as brief a conversation as possible to take care of that need. And that is a response of a day for Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We thank the OU Rabbi Jacob Romitz and David Hochhauser for making this year available to you. My name is Gideon Rothstein, wishing you a good day.